bring our guest in. Rob Keller is the chief orthopedic resident at Henry Ford Hospital and part of this study. Dr. Keller, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. It's you know, we've been having this conversation for the last few minutes here, trying to figure out exactly what the science is or should be. Let's start with the study that you conducted. What was the agenda? What were you looking for?
Well, as you guys know, I mean, Tommy John surgeries are just rampant now, and they're increasing. You know, a recent study showed that like 25% of major league pitchers have undergone Tommy John surgery. So us as doctors, you know, we're looking at it and saying, how can we keep these people healthy? How can we keep them away from going under the knife? So we wanted to look at, well, is it related to pitch speed, or is it related to the type of pitch they threw, or what can we do to help them out and help them understand what's going on?
Well, your study suggested a connection between increased fastball usage and eventually having to have Tommy John, correct?
Right. So yeah, we looked at players that required Tommy John surgery and compared them to controls that were matched, you know, for everything from age to size to how much they threw. And then tried to see, is the type of pitch they're throwing actually related to the injury? And we found that those that are throwing a higher percentage of fastballs actually are requiring that surgery more often.
I don't know if this was included in the study, but I'm old enough to remember an era in baseball. Well, I remember the era before Tommy John came along and then ultimately had that surgery. Dr. Job, I think, did that first one.
Correct. Right.
Is there something about the way pitchers pitch today that is different from the way pitchers pitched 40 years ago, in your opinion, that may be causing this increase in TJ procedures?
Well, of course, if you look at the athlete as a whole, many years back, they were multi-sports athletes. They were the high school Harry, right? So they'd play football, basketball, baseball, and you know, they'd spend time on their baseball often, but they'd also be able to take breaks and do other sports. Now everything's so condensed where you're playing in travel ball, your high school leagues, those sort of things, that, you know, people really don't have a chance to rest. We have kids coming into our clinics with elbow injuries where, you know, they just go from one showcase to the other.
One of the things that I've been I have disputed the way baseball coddles pitchers, and I understand why they do, because they are a big investment and because they are clearly injury prone. But I grew up in an era where, with a four-man rotation, where guys, it was not uncommon for successful pitchers to throw 300 innings in a season. Today, it would be remarkable to have a guy throw 250, and it is notable when a guy can throw 200 innings. Is it because they pitch differently, or is it because, like anything else, you know, if you train to run 800 meters and then tell a guy to go run a mile, he might get tired. If you train him to run a mile and then ask him to run a mile, he probably can do that pretty easily. Your thoughts?
Well, like anything, that's what we're trying to find out right now. It's obviously multifactorial. You know, athletes are bigger, stronger, throw harder. If you look at the average fastball velocity in the major leagues, it's increased by 2 miles per hour over the last, like, 5 years.
Right.
So, you know, everything's multifactorial. Is there a little bit of survival of the fittest where maybe those that can throw that much have a little bit better connective tissue that can withstand that sort of trauma that the elbow's being seen? Maybe. But it's a multifactorial approach that we're trying to find out and kind of better educate our athletes about.
Yeah. Now, if obviously I have a son, and if I listen to this here, it's a little confusing to me, because if I went to my son and I said, hey, do you want to play baseball? And then I go out and I read your article here about, you know, arm angles and mechanics are not there. If your mechanics are not perfect and a kid's throwing pretty hard, the chances of him having Tommy John surgery went up. So if I'm a parent, I'm going, hey, I really don't want my son to be hurt. How would I talk, you know, how do you talk parents in, or how would I talk my son into playing or even pitching? Because, you know, there's two parts to baseball, be hitting and pitching. How would you go and say, hey, it's fun to go pitch, but you have to have perfect mechanics to be good at it, and chances of that are not very good. And if you don't, you're going to have Tommy John. Is it tougher to talk parents into it now?
I don't think it's necessarily tougher to talk parents into it now. A lot of parents still think that, you know, if you have Tommy John surgery, you're going to throw faster and better than you did before. And you know, I think that we've done research that have shown that you aren't better than you were before. So people still rely on that old kind of adage when they come into our clinics now. As far as, you know, the best way to talk to a parent is tell them you got to have time to rest. You know, you need to practice, work hard, and enjoy what you're doing, but there's got to be some time where you give that arm a rest.
We talked a little about good mechanics. Did your study assess good mechanics?
No, it didn't necessarily look at good mechanics. You know, you got to assume that most of the major league pitchers are going to have fairly good mechanics, because we only looked at pro pitchers. So I guess the big thing is, does this correlate with the little leaguer? And, you know, we're not sure.
In terms of, and I don't want to get too far off of what the study did, but I have been led to believe that in this age of Tommy John surgery, especially among young pitchers, remember Tommy John himself was a veteran pitcher at the time he had the surgery. I think he was in his mid-30s at the time he had the surgery. We are now seeing pitchers 16, 17, 18 years old having Tommy John surgery. And I've been led to believe by surgeons that it is probable that these guys will have to have another Tommy John approximately 10 years later. Are you aware of that?
So our research team at Henry Ford actually looked at revision surgeries. And you're right, a lot of people that required revision surgery had that surgery, their first surgery early in their life. And we're also looking at, you know, how to protect the people that have already had one Tommy John surgery so they don't require another. And it's still early yet as far as where we are in the research aspect of it, but that's what we're here trying to do, is trying to find a way to protect these guys so they can still do what they love, do what, you know, is affecting their livelihood for some of these pro pitchers, while still being safe and not requiring the surgery.
So if I throw a 91-mile-an-hour fastball instead of a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, am I that percentage less likely to have TJ?
So our study showed that it's not actually related to speed. It's more related to the constant throwing of a higher speed. So previous literature looked at stuff that showed that, you know, if you throw over about 85 miles per hour, which is pretty much every major league pitcher, you're at increased risk. So this is that multifactorial thing again. And then if you're throwing at that high velocity for a higher percentage of time, it looks like you're at increased risk.
All right. So, but here's one of the conundrums that I have. I mean, I was a pitcher as a kid. And I was taught, stay away from the breaking balls early on because it's bad for your arm. And we all wanted to throw that big sweeping curve ball, but I had coaches who told me, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Today, many breaking balls are not thrown by adding extra torque to your arm or your shoulder or your elbow, but rather simply with the positioning of your hands. Splitters, fork balls, slurves, many of these pitches are thrown, change-ups are thrown exactly with the exact same arm motion as the fastball, and yet because of the grip, the ball reacts differently.
Right, because if you change your arm speed, then that's going to let the batter know.
Correct. So what I find kind of incongruous here is if you only examine fastballs, like what's the difference between me throwing a change-up where my arm speed is identical to the fastball. If I throw that 90% of the time and fastball 10% of the time, I mean, aren't I at the same risk as a guy who throws a fastball 100% of the time?
So that's a good question. So actually in the lab, there have been biomechanical studies that look at pitchers in motion analysis of their throwing, and they have shown that fastballs put more torque on your elbow and on your shoulder than throwing a curveball, than throwing a slider, or than throwing a changeup. So we've known that, and that's been in the medical literature for 5 to 10 years now. This study was the first one that actually looked at the percentage of curveballs thrown, the percentage of fastballs thrown, the percentage of sliders, changeups, etc., and how they related to risk. And we found that fastball seems to be that risk factor, most likely because you're putting that increased torque that we see in the lab on the arm more often.
But again, if it's the same arm action and there's no specific torque on the wrist, the elbow, or the shoulder in throwing a changeup versus a fastball, how do you delineate the difference between the two in a laboratory? You know, Marco, let me give you an example. Marco Estrada probably throws 30-40% of his pitches are changeups.
Yep.
It is the exact same arm motion with the exact same velocity as his fastball. It is the grip on the ball that changes. Nothing else changes about his delivery. It's essentially a fastball with a different grip. Don't you have to take that into consideration?
You know, I guess you would. The thing that we see, though, is if you actually break it down with motion analyses, slow motion cameras, etc., there is a different torque placed on it by the pitchers that we've seen in the lab.
So it is a different. It is fundamentally a different pitch.
Right. So when you're watching it just on TV live motion, you know, it looks the same, but if you break it down with multiple frames per second in the lab, it appears that there's a little bit difference in the torque and the way they throw those pitches.
It's all fascinating stuff. It's all important stuff because of this age in which we live. We thank you, Rob, for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Rob Keller, Chief Orthopedic Resident, Henry Ford Hospital.